Your poems are written in tongue-in-cheek tone. Do you see yourself as a humorist, or are you concerned that readers perceive the serious themes and content in your work?
Well, so far as I know, none of my poems are written with whatever you mean by tongue-in-cheek tone. I don't like that kind of humor. And I think that a good many of my poems, particularly the earlier ones, are comic, but my intention is never mainly satire, but is always mainly lyrical. And I've noticed that the combination of the lyrical and the comic, although it exists certainly in Aristophanes and in Byron and in Wallace Stevens, for that matter, and in many other poets, is sometimes hard for some people to perceive and to enjoy, because very often people associate poetry, and particularly lyric poetry, with seriousness unmixed with laughter, or more like seriousness that is, in fact, solemn. And there's some fine, totally serious poems, but many of my early poems are not entirely that way.
Could you talk a little bit about New York in the 1950s and the New York school of poets that you're associated with? I mean, did you really, have a synergistic effect on each other by being around artists and poets?
There was really no New York school in the sense that the French have poetic schools or the Italians have poetic schools. That is to say, there was no manifesto, there were no meetings, there was no program. What I think the phrase the New York School was invented for the anthology The New American Poetry 1945 to 1960, and it was just a way of, it seemed to me, of dividing up the poets who lived in New York from the poets who lived on the West Coast or who went to Black Mountain or wherever. In fact, there was something behind this. John Ashbery and Frank O'Hara and I all went to Harvard in the late 40s, and we all, well, John and I were friends at Harvard, and then I didn't meet Frank at Harvard, though I was an editor of the Harvard Advocate, and we published a story of his in it, but I did meet him when he came to New York, and we three were very, very close friends, and we used to read each other's poems all the time, and it's hard to believe that we didn't influence each other, and we were also very close friends with a certain number of painters. Among the first two painters we were close to were Jane Froehlicher and Larry Rivers, and the five of us, in fact, would often be seen together, and that is, if you invited one, you got all five at a party or something. And then there were many painters were added to this group, and the poet James Schuyler was added to it. I mean, they just were on the scene, and then we became friends with them, and Barbara Guest and Arnold Weinstein, but mainly painters. And the social life was mainly supplied by painters who, as Virgil Thompson said in one of his essays, work all day so they have a good conscience at night, and they also have the pleasure of actually being able to sell some of the work they do, so they have some money to give parties and things like that. This was true anyway in the 50s, and it was a very lively social scene. Nobody was famous. The painters hardly sold anything. We poets were largely unpublished, and if we weren't influencing each other by our actual works, which I think we were certainly all being influenced by this very lively, excited atmosphere that we were in the midst of some kind of a little renaissance, but that's perhaps too much to say. But in the midst of a lot of artistic and literary excitement anyway, that something new was happening. When I've looked back on it, I mean, it always seemed to me at the time that Ashbery's and O'Hara's poetry and mine had something in common. I think it probably had more in common then than it had by, say, 1960. It certainly, by a little after that, it had even less in common, but I think it still has some things in common. But what it had in common then was, I think, a considerable attention to the surface of the language, to the surface of the poem. Like, there's a great variety of tones in the poetry, a lot of attention to the texture, like sort of putting in all kinds of words. If William Carlos Williams wanted to get the American spoken language, particularly the spoken language of working people, what it seems to me what we all we're getting in our poems and enjoying getting, we're all different kinds of language at the same time. The base was probably conversational, at least for Frank and me. Often for John, too, the base was spoken English, like the way people talk American. But we also got in literary language and slang and old-fashioned language and all kinds. You can see it in a poem, early poem of Frank's, like Blocks, and you can certainly see it in a later long poem like Biotherm. And you can see this mixture of styles and tones and in John Ashbery's work all over his poetry. That's one thing. Also, we're all influenced by French poetry, by the avant-garde tradition anyway, from Baudelaire up through Surrealism and later. We were, if not directly influenced by, I know we were enthusiastic about, I can't speak for everybody else, but I think so, about Pasternak and Mayakovsky and Lorca and Rilke. And our poetry also had a kind of comic quality from time to time that I didn't see in other poetry of the time. Our poetry was not symbolic. Things were just what they were. They didn't stand for anything else.